Okay, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6, we're continuing our study of what we're calling recognizing the roles, and we're looking at the role of husband, wife, parents, children, all of those things. Well, we started, we saw the role of wives, and then, well, we looked marriage as a whole, and then we saw wives, and we saw husbands. We're looking at children, and there's two lessons on that. And then we're going to look at parents. And listen, let me just say this. You know, I've told you that this one is it's fluid, because what we're doing is I've got a role of appearance, and then I've got another role of appearance, and then I've got some things I'm going to put together which are a little bit different than I've ever taught. I mean, we're meaning adding to this study, so there's going to be some fun stuff to come as well. So you should have lesson 8, you should have lesson 9, and the Lord willing, if we finish lesson 8, we'll just go right in to lesson 9. Let's start with a prayer, and as we'll think about the role of these children. Heavenly Father, thanks for a great morning. Thank you for our church and just the joy it is to come together with fellow believers. Thank you for your love to us in Jesus Christ. Lord, we never want to take for granted what Jesus has done, how he died and rose again, how he gives eternal life as a gift simply by faith. We thank you, Lord, for the body of Christ, the church, as we await the rapture, as we await the coming of our great God and Savior, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, as we think about our lives, and we think about that Colossians says we've been raised up and seated in the heavenly places in our position with Jesus Christ, and that for us to live as those who are raised up with Christ. And Lord, when we think about whether it's our husband or a wife or a parent or a child, the whole aspect of marriage and family, Lord, we want to live in such a way that you get the glory and that we live as representatives of Jesus Christ. So we just ask you to teach us now, especially, Lord, as we look at the children. Help us to put it together. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If there's any children in here, and of course, some of it applies to even grown children, okay? But we'll look at it. That's lesson 8. I don't know if you want to just go through the slides, we'll catch up to where we want to be. We talk about our view. Just go ahead and go pretty quickly, and I'll tell you when to stop. Keep going. Okay, one of the things we talked about, the rights to be born, the right to be taken care of, and the right to be taught. Then we go on to the next slide, I think, has the responsibilities to obey, to honor, and to provide. And then I think we go fairly quickly. Just keep on going. Stop right there for just a second. That's what we talked about last week. We talked about that they are to obey. It's a really special word. The word obey means, it comes from a Greek word, hupo akouo. Hupo means under, and akouo means to hear. We get acoustics from it. It means to hear under. It's the idea of obedience. Children are to obey their parents. In fact, they're to obey their parents in all things. That's what's sort of amazing. If you looked in Colossians, and we weren't going to turn back there, but it has said, obey your parents in all things, and then it told us why. I think go ahead and put it on down. Just go real quickly through those, because we're not going to go over those verses again. It said there, right there, it said, obey your parents in all things, first of all, completely. Why? Because it's pleasing to God. Sometimes our children, of course, when they're really young, it's hard for them to grasp this and understand what we're talking about. But the bottom line is, children to obey their parents in all things, because this is what pleases the Lord. And we saw that. Now, look at Ephesians chapter 6. Notice verse 1 says the same thing. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is the right thing to do. We talked about this, that if you do not obey, you should expect discipline, and you end up developing a disrespect for authority. That's one of the problems. Sometimes we don't think it's a big deal when children do not obey their parents. We think, oh, they're just acting up, they're just acting out, that kind of thing. But the bottom line is this, that a pattern of disobedience over a period of time results into a lack of respect for authority. And when that happens, eventually you're going to have problems. And when people grow up with a disrespect for authority and a lack of respect for authority, they usually end up in trouble. And that's what we do not want to happen. Jerry Jenkins, in a letter to his son, I quoted this last time, basically said, with all biblical commands, the payoff for obedience are much more rewarding than the temporary pleasure. We don't always think about it that way. We, even as grown-ups, we think, I want this right now. The younger we are, the more they say, I want this right now. We have to get to the point where they realize that there is some things that are better as we wait. Question, Susie? Okay. Oh, they're talking about how to obey parents. Our children should obey us for as long as they live. No, just kidding. Yeah. Let's think about it this way. I think I talked a little bit about it last time, but the whole idea of obedience, if you look in the biblical pattern of obedience, the children didn't just leave home. You didn't get to a certain age and leave home. You left home usually when you got married. If you were the daughter, when you got married, you left to go live at the home of the one that she's married to. And so she moved from being under the authority of her dad to being under the authority of her husband. If you were a guy, you usually didn't even leave your home necessarily because there was a patriarchal thing. You would go get the bride and then you would build a place on at your house. But that became a time when you were on your own. Now, in our culture and society, a lot of times people say, when I turn 18, I'm an adult. Well, here's what I tell people. If you're 18, but you're still being supported by your parents, you still live at home, they pay for your college, they do this, you're still under their authority, and you are to obey them. Now, when you're out on your own, when you're making your own living, when you're doing your own thing, when you're saying, I do my own thing, that's a whole different thing. And I've told you the story of the girl that, you know, wanted her, my mother wanted her to come in at 12. She was a college student. She was a sophomore at OSU. She was living at home with her mother. Her mother told her to come in at 12. She thought that was too early for a college person, that she could do whatever she wanted to. She actually came to see me because she went to Countryside. She said, my mother's making me come in at 12. I don't think that's right. I said, well, where do you live? She said, I live at home. I said, your mama pay for your school? Yeah. I said, whatever she tells you to do, you do. You're under her authority. If you're 25 and she tells you to come in at 12, you come in at 12. She said, that's not fair. I said, well, then the simplest thing to do is to move out and be on your own, right? And she said, but then I'd have to pay for everything. And I said, yes, you're exactly right. You would. And so there is a little catch to this thing. If you want to be on your own and you want to be grown up enough that you don't obey your parents, then be on your own. Now, there's an idea there that even after we're grown, and that's where it comes into the second thing about honoring, but we'll talk about it in a second. You know, your parents may want to come to you when you're grown and say, I think you ought to do this. You don't have to do that. But show respect. You know, say, thanks for the input, Mom and Dad. But, or thanks for the input. We'll really consider it. I think that takes us to the second one, and that is to honor. Look there in Ephesians where it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first command with a promise, so that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. He actually promises or says that when you honor your mother and father, you've got a good chance of living longer than if you didn't. Now, I know we say that and it sounds funny, but in the Mosaic law, if you didn't honor your mother and father, they could stone you. So they could cut it short if they wanted to, right? And so this is actually saying, honor your mother and father, which is a first commandment that promised, so it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. We are always to honor our folks. Now, we honor them even after they're gone. Even after they're gone. Because they're always your mom and daddy, right? Now, I know this, that in some situations, people could say, you don't know my parents. You don't know my dad. You don't know how he treated us. You don't know what he did. Those kind of things. We're talking about the position because there are human beings. There are people that you look at and you say, it's hard to respect that person or it's hard to do this because of the way this person acts. But since they're your mother and father, he says to honor them. And that is the idea of showing respect and treat them respected even after you grow up and you disagree with them. Even if they come to you and say something, you can say, thanks for the input. We'll think about it, or we're just not going to do it that way. You can still honor them. You don't have to disrespect your parents. And so, we must do that. This is one of the commands in the Old Testament, one of the Ten Commandments that actually had a promise and a blessing connected with it. The thing that I tell, young people is that almost all parents want the best for their children. Almost all parents love their children with an unconditional type love. They just love them so much. And what does it really mean to honor? I haven't got to that yet, but let's put it, now that we got it up, let's talk about it. What does it mean to honor? I think for young children, it's really the idea of obeying because I don't think they completely understand the difference at that time. For teenagers, it's an idea to show respect. I know that when you have a teenager, we all know that as Bill Cosby said, something happens to them. And their brain messes up. They don't have the brain. We know that actually there are hormones and things going on that they can't even think correct straight anymore. And they think, as strange as it is, they think we're stupid, right? As smart as we are, they think we're stupid. We don't know their songs. We don't know their music. We don't know their slang. We don't know their clothing. We don't know anything. And so when they get to that age, they think something's wrong with us. it's actually something wrong with them. But don't tell them that. But anyway, teenagers need to show respect to their parents. And then young adults, as you get young, include your parents in your life. Don't cut them out of your life, especially when grandchildren are involved. You're right. And then last but not least, middle-aged and beyond, make sure they're cared for. We're going to talk more about that in a minute. But that's what honoring is. And we obey as long as we're under their authority. We honor for as long as we live. We honor our parents. It's amazing the influence that they have on us. We don't always think that way. We think I'm my own self, but then you realize so many things we think and do are because of the influence of our mom and daddy. So it says honor. Now here's the third one. And this is the one that's a little confusing for some, and that's to provide for them. And you could stop and say, wait a minute, I thought it was the role of the daddy to be the provider, perfecter of the family, and he provides and all that. It's true. But there may come a time. There may come a time when your parents get older that you provide for them. In 1 Timothy, I want you to turn to 1 Timothy. Just flip over in your Bibles from Ephesians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians on it. Get over to 1 Timothy chapter 5. I've got a brand new Bible and the pages won't even turn right. I don't know what the deal is. 1 Timothy chapter 5, look at verse 3. Honor widows who are widows indeed. Now, if you look in the scripture, you find that. Now, we all know that women outlive men. There's a reason for that. Y'all know what that is. Men have to live with women. And so that's what. Now, I'm sorry. It didn't work very good. I don't know what to say. But anyway, in most cultures, the women live longer than the men, so the men die earlier. And that's why in this passage, he said, honor the widows who are widows indeed. What you find in the scripture, and this could be a widower, but primarily a widow, when you think about it, a widow has lost her husband and has family. That's a widow. So it's a person whose husband has died, but she still has her children and family, okay? A widow indeed, scripture-wise, has no one. That when her husband died, she doesn't have family to fall back on. She doesn't have relatives that she can have help from. So here's what we find in the scripture. It says, honor widows who are widows indeed. That means to take care of those who are widows who have no one to take care of them. Now, if you continue in the passage, we won't take the time to do that, but if you continue in the passage, you'll find that the widows indeed, meaning widows in a local body who have no one to take care of them, they are to be put on a list and taken care of by the body. That means they have no family, no one to take care of them. Now, the list, there is a requirement for the list. It's not just that you're a widow indeed. It's that you are a widow indeed. And then it goes on to say things that were faithful, that washed the saints' feet, those kind of things. In fact, it says this. A widow is to be put on the list only if she's not less than 60 years old, been in the wife of one man, having a reputation for good works, if she's brought up children, if she's shown hospitality to strangers, if she's washed the saints' feet, if she assisted those in distress, she has devoted herself to every good work. That's the requirements for a widow indeed to be supported by the local body, okay? And so this is a person, and we could even say it's a man or a woman who their family has died, or their spouse has died, either they don't have family, their family's gone, they have nobody to take care of them, and they fit these characteristics and qualifications. They could be taken care of by the church. But what about the ones who are widows that have family? Look what it says back at 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 3. Honor widows who are widows indeed, but if any widow has children or grandchildren, they must first learn to practice piety in regard to their own family and to make some return to their parents, for this is acceptable in the sight of God. Now, the word piety there has the idea of showing honor. See, it says, a widow has children or grandchildren, they must first learn to practice piety. In other words, to show honor. And it says, in regard to their own family and to make return. They'll make return literally means to give back. Now, what this really is saying is that if, let's just use the widow, if the daddy dies and the mama is by herself in a sense, it's the children and the grandchildren's responsibility to make sure that she is taken care of. We see it in our culture all the time. We see it all the time. And in fact, there are so many families that are what they call the sandwich generation, that they're raising their children and at the same time taking care of their parents. That happens. What happens is our parents get older. Maybe one of them dies, the other one, maybe they're both alive, and they get to a place where they're just not able to take care of themselves. And whose responsibility is it to take care of them? It's the children and the grandchildren. So children, there may come a time when you're to provide for your parents. And we don't always think about it in that way. But it's true. Let me tell you, in our family, my daddy and mama, they were the greatest. And my dad died when I was 26. And as some years went by, we found out there are four of us. My older brother is 11 years older than me. My older sister is 7 years older. We had a sister that passed away that was born before us, so I never knew her. And then myself and my twin sister. And so there were four of us. And we found out that my mother, my dad worked for B.F. Goodrich, and so after he died, there was like a retirement deal, like a pin. You know how they, a lot of companies don't have that anymore, but did then. But it wasn't very much. And so mama lived in for a while, and then she moved up to Memphis to be close to my twin sister, and they found her a place to live, and she lived in her little house and everything. But we realized that the money coming in from what my dad, you know, had supplied through the dad, wasn't enough for her to live. It wasn't enough for her to live a decent life. And so what we decided to do is we met, all four of us came together and decided that every month we would, each one of us would send a certain amount of money to mama. And when she got that money, it was enough money added to what she had that she could live. And made it good, and made it the rest of her life. She had three open heart surgeries and a cancer surgery toward the end. She survived them all, did great, and had a great life. And we're all thankful that she made it fine. But it's our responsibility. No, I don't think it's the government's responsibility. I think it's our responsibility to take care of our parents, take care of my mama, and that's what we should do. Biblically speaking, those of us who know Christ as Savior, there may come a time where to provide for our parents. That's why the joke is, you know, you'll say, be nice to your children. They're going to decide what nursing home they're going to put you in, all those kind of things. But the truth is, it's their responsibility to make sure you're okay. And wouldn't it be great if you could live out your days with your mind and in a house or a place to live, and you lived all the way to the end in that way before you passed away. It's harder when people have to go in nursing homes. It's harder when they don't know their friends or family. But we still have the responsibility to take care of them. So, children, obey your parents as long as you're under their authority. Children, we honor our mothers and fathers for as long as we live. And then there may come a time. There may come a time when we have to provide. So, the big three. Obey parents while you're under authority. Honor them always. And provide for them if necessary. Let me give you the applications. I think you've got the sheet. And it looks like we could start. We've only got about 5 minutes left, so I might want to hold up a little bit on nine. I have to talk about nine for just a second because it's the role of the parents. And I want to tell a story. Just for a second about my dad. Let me just give you the, if we have time, I want to tell it. Application, children, fulfill your God-given role. What is that? A, you obey your parents as long as you're under their authority. And it actually said, do it in all things as pleasing to the Lord. Look at the fact that your parents have allowed you, you know, that God has put you under their leadership, and so obey them. The second thing is honor them. Honor your mom and daddy for as long as they live. Even character-wise, if they say character-wise, you say, you just don't know my daddy. You don't know how he treated us, or you don't know my mother. You honor the position. The last thing is there's a possibility that you provide if it's ever needed. May we as children fulfill our roles in the family unit as those who belong to Jesus Christ. It's a powerful truth. Well, if you look at lesson 9 just for a second, if you look at lesson 9, it's the role of the parents. I want to just tell this little story just with the time we have remaining, and then I'll open up for any Bible or any questions or anything about this. Do you understand the impact that you as a parent have on your children? We sometimes think, you know, that we're parents, and they, you know, when they're little, they think we're the greatest and love us, and then as time goes up, something else. And teenagers, they don't care anything about us, or they don't act like they do, or they, you know, and then they get a little older and all this. I want to tell you this. My dad, and I loved him so much. He was 26. I was 26 when he died, so I didn't get to, you know, I look back and my brother, you know, I always say, y'all got to live with mom and daddy a lot longer, you know? But I'll tell you this. My dad was gone all the time. He worked for B.F. Goodrich. He was what they called a traveling salesman. He would go. He would leave on Monday. He would drive to all the different dealers, and he would sell them B.F. Goodrich tires, and then they would turn around and sell them. You know, he was a dealer representative, you know. He did all that. And so he'd a lot of times leave on Monday and not get back till Friday. So I didn't get to see him a whole lot. And what really helped me growing up as far as having really a male figure were my coaches. That's where I had the male figure. That's where I saw guys. And that's where, you know, I think that's one reason from the time I was young, I wanted to be a coach. But my dad and I, he was a great man. And here's what I can remember. And this shows you just how important a daddy is in your life. I think I was about 13 or 14. And of course, when you're 13 or 14, you think you know everything. But I remember it was in the summer because I can remember it was hot. For about a month or maybe more, maybe 5 or 6 weeks, one summer, Daddy almost every Saturday morning would still go visit one of the dealers. He worked on Saturday mornings a lot. And I remember one time for about 5 or 6 times in a row, he said, you want to go with me? And I went. I'm 13, 14. Deep down, I didn't really want to go, but then I did want to go. And I remember going and watching Daddy talk to these people about buying B.F. Goodrich tires and selling all this stuff. And then he'd said, you want to go get something to eat? Right? You want to tell you? I can tell you exactly where we went to eat. I can tell you exactly what we ate. Because even though it doesn't seem like a big deal, it probably to him, he'd say, was it a big deal that you took your son with you? And he'd say, oh, no, he didn't care. I can tell you where we sat in this restaurant. I can tell you we ordered Salisbury steaks. I'm 13 years old. I still can see sitting with my daddy, talking to my daddy. Do you think we have an impact on our kids? Even if they don't even act like it? We have a great influence. So when we get the role of parents, I mean, this is powerful because we're going to talk about our roles and what we do, and we're going to talk about do we value our children, and we're going to talk about the negative aspect of what we are not to do, and then the positive aspect of what we are to do, and there's some other things. And then I'm working on 2 or 3 extra lessons. When I originally taught, I called this the family or something, but I've got it recognizing the roles now, and I've got 2 or 3 extra lessons I'm going to put together dealing with some things on how we can really relate to our kids and those kind of things. So I think there's some good stuff. What about questions, comments, anything? Can you think back to your parents? Can you think back the influence your mom and daddy had on you? And some of you have the greatest memories of your life. I can still remember that every 4th of July, we cooked out at our house. Every 4th of July. And see, it didn't seem important then. It wasn't even a big deal then. It didn't even matter. Now I think, wow, what I would give to have one day with my mother and daddy, wouldn't you? There's a book, my mind's blank, the guy who wrote it. Who wrote Tuesdays with Maury? What's that guy's name? Rick Alban? No, what am I thinking? Mitch. Okay, he wrote The 5 People You Meet in Heaven, Tuesdays with Maury. He wrote For One More Day. Every time I find For One More Day, I buy as many copies as I can and give them to people. For One More Day is his writing of what if he could spend one day with his mother? She's already gone. What would he do differently if he could have just one more day? What would you do? Now, for a lot of you, your folks are still alive. You better enjoy every minute with them that you can. They won't always be here. I guess that's enough. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for our lesson and the class. And Lord, we think about kids. We love them so. We pray that they'll obey their parents. We pray that they'll honor their parents. And we'll pray if time comes and they need to, that they'll actually take care of their parents. Lord, what a responsibility. And Lord, as we think about it from being a child end of it, that we want to fulfill our role. And then Lord, as we begin to look at from our role as maybe parents, what are we supposed to do? How do we do it? What's the negative? What's the positive? How can we make an impact on our children's lives that will influence them in a great way for Jesus Christ? May we do it. Thank you for our study. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.